Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Giri-vara-dari Gopi-jana-mala-ma Gopi-jana-mala-ma Giri-vara-dari Gopi-jana-mala-ma Giri-vara-dari Yashoda-nandana Bhajajana-ran Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Yeah. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Nitya Gaur Haribo, 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 Gaur Haribo.
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravajikacharya Asto Tadasati Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Paramsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Shishi Radha Krishna Gopagopina Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Kijaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Kijaya Mayapur Navadip Dham Kijaya Ganga Maya Kijaya Jamuna Maya Kijaya Tulsi Devi Kijaya Bhakti Devi Kijaya Their Most Beautiful Lordship Shri Shri Radha Landa Nishwara Kijaya Jagannath Baladev Subhaja Maharani Ki Jai, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai, Brihamridanga Transno Book Distribution Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Someone give me the book. Hare Krishna. So, welcome. Thank you all for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you for tuning in, those of you who are at home. And today we're going to continue reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll be reading from chapter 24. Chapter is entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. And we'll read a few verses today, starting with text 31 and going up to text 33. Mm-hmm. so 33 is on the board. Okay, see how we do that, because it's a double verse. Okay. So before we begin, I would first like to seek blessings from all of the assembled Vaishnavas that you see fit to empower and enable me to speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam, something that is both relevant and bona fide. Hare Krishna. So before we begin, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Saraswatiam Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Nastra Praishva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So text 31, I'll read, and then we'll repeat text 33. Shishuku vacha kalatmana bhagavata shakradarpa jigamsaya proktam nishamya nandadya sadva grananta tadvachaha. Shukadev Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra. When Nanda and the other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. Text 32. Tata cha vyaduda sarvam yataha madhusudana vachayitva svashtyayanam tadravyena giridvijan. And then text 33, please repeat. Uparitya balin samyag adritaya vasam gavam Godanani Purakshkritya Girim Chakru Pradakshinam Uparitya Balin Samyag Adritya Yava Samgavam Godanani Purakshkritya Girim Chakru Pradakshinam Uparitya Balin Samyag Adritya Yava Sangavam Godanani Purakshkritya Girim Chakru Pradakshinam. Ladies, please. Oh, word for word. This is a double verse, so this is also text 32. Tata, thus. Cha, and. Vyadaduhu, they executed. Sarvam, everything. Yata, as. Aha, he spoke. Madhusudanaha, Lord Krishna. Vachayitva, making the brahmanas recite. Shvashti ayanam, the auspicious chants. Tatdravyena, with the paraphernalia intended for Indra's sacrifice. Giri, to the hill. Dvijan, and the brahmanas. Uparitya, offering. Balin, the presentations of tribute. Samyak, all together. Adritaha, respectfully. Yavasam, grass. Gavam, to the cows. Godanani, the bulls, cows, and calves. Purakskritya, placing in front. Girim, of the hill. Chakruhu, they performed. Pradakshinam, circumambulation. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudan had suggested. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the brahmanas with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows. Then, placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan. Purport. The residents of Vrindavan were simply devoted to Lord Krishna. That was the sum and substance of their existence. Being the Lord's eternal associates, they were ultimately not concerned with Lord Indra or ritualistic sacrifice, and they were certainly not interested in the mechanistic philosophy that Krishna had just spoken to them. They simply loved Krishna. And out of intense affection, they did exactly what he had requested. Their simple loving mentality was not small-mindedness or ignorance, since they were devoted to the Supreme Absolute Truth, who contains within himself all existence. Thus, the residents of Vrindavan constantly experienced the highest essential truth underlying all other truths, and that is Sri Krishna himself, the cause of all causes, and that which sustains the existence of all that exists. The residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed in loving service to that Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, they were the most fortunate, the most intelligent, and the most pragmatic of all living beings. Om Agana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Milita Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare Verse again. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudan has suggested. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the brahmanas with reverential respect. They gave grass to the cows, then placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. This is very wonderful section and pastime of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the worshipping of Govardhan Hill. And Giri Govardhan holds very special place here in London, as I think this was the first place, as far as I understand, where Srila Prabhupada authorized the worship of Radha and Krishna through the Govardhan Shila. So when one is worshipping Giriraj here, they're performing the actual worship and the puja. All the offerings are done through Giriraj for Radha and Krishna in the morning, bathing and activities like that. So Giri Govardhan, very special character in many ways. Giriraj is very endearing, very wonderful deity, a worshipful deity. This section, I think Murlipru, he touched on many points yesterday, but the one point that really struck me is the mood of surrender that's happening here for the residents of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada states in the purport that they simply loved Krishna, and out of intense affection they did exactly what he had requested. So the residents of Vrindavan were very much in love with the Lord. And if we can imagine the situation that Lord Indra is supposed to be offered a sacrifice, a ceremony, in order to honor and worship him, and so that he provides rain. Now, Lord Indra is demigod, but great worshipable personality. Many pastimes where the Lord, even despite Indra's poor judgment, let's say, in situations, or being overcome by maybe characteristics or qualities that are less than desirable, but the Lord looks after him and protects him. So Indra's the king of heaven. He's actually, in one sense, the king of the demigods, although Lord Brahma resides above all others, but Lord Indra is the administrator of the demigods, of heaven, the heavenly spheres, So this is a very important post, a very important position, and a very, very powerful personality. Jai Shri Shri Radha Nanda Nishwara Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Giri Govardhan Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And here in the midst of this big puja for Lord Indra, a 7-year-old boy comes along and says, "Forget this worshipping Lord Indra stuff. It doesn't make any sense." And he begins espousing some philosophy, philosophy that actually we're not even really meant to follow. And he completely diverts this worship of this great personality. And, you know, Lord Indra, you can, you know, picture he's got the huge crown, and usually he's depicted with a big tash, you know, mustache, and, you know, his bodily structure is certainly, you know, he's a demigod. He's a very attractive personality. He's, you know, muscular and well-built and older person, maybe, you know, we might picture he's in his early 40s in age. And you've got a 7-year-old boy who's saying, "Forget worshiping Indra." And everyone's listening to him. Everyone decides, okay, let's forget about worshiping Lord Indra and let's just worship this hill. I mean, it seems completely bizarre. But all of the whole of Vrindavan, all of the residents, they're just so in love and overwhelmed with affection for Krishna that they're basically, in one sense you could say, blinded by this love and affection that they have for him. And they just do whatever he says. I mean, this is, in one sense you could almost say it's like, I mean, it's not blind, because he's philosophically convinced them and and explained how Giriraj, how Govardhan Hill is really the source of all of their opulence, and it's worshipable. You know, Giriraj is worshipable. Now, the thing that gets me is, like, in this mood of surrender, that all the residents have then, and now they've taken all the paraphernalia they were going to offer to Lord Indra, and they're using it to worship Govardhan Hill. They perform this huge offering to the Lord, to Giriraj, and now they're circumambulating Govardhan Hill, and they've done it all because Krishna has asked them to. This little boy, and he's instructing all the adults, right? All the senior men. You know, Nanda Maharaj, he's like the king of the cowherd men, and he's listening to this, his 7-year-old boy. He's following his instruction. Now what happens after they do this? Indra what? Indra retaliates. Indra, you know, calls forth the Samvantarka cloud, the cloud of devastation. He sends it to Vrindavan, and he orders the cloud, Samvantarka personality, to completely annihilate Vrindavan. He actually orders the murder of all of the residents of Vrindavan. He just says, destroy it. Wipe it out. Teach them a lesson. And all the residents of Vrindavan, now, I don't know about you, but if I had just taken advice from a 7-year-old, and the next thing I knew, the clouds of devastation manifested and started like wiping out my entire village, I'd probably be a little disgruntled. I'd probably think, what am I doing? What did we do? We listened to this 7-year-old boy, and now we're getting pulverized. Our village is getting wiped out, right? Everything is being destroyed. Everything that we care about is being destroyed simply because we followed the instruction of this 7-year-old boy. But the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't become upset. They didn't actually go to Krishna. You know, I mean, you can imagine if your 7-year-old boy told you to do something and you did it and you got into big trouble, you might want to give him a little spanking. Isn't it? You might want to go, hey, you. You know, next time, you know, get your facts straight, buddy. But the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't act like this. In fact, they went to Krishna and they took shelter of him again. In the middle of, you know, completely devastating storm, they all go to Krishna and say, Krishna, you're our only shelter, help us. And I was thinking how when we surrender, our surrender is so conditional. I mean, we try to be unconditional. Of course, we're looking at that as the ultimate goal. But really, it's like we're you know, and Murli spoke yesterday about faith, absolute faith. What's being spoken about here in the pages of the Bhagavatam is absolute faith in Krishna. He's, you know, he doesn't necessarily appear to be the person you should have faith in. You should have more faith in Indra. He holds this high position, so many things. But they're putting this faith in Krishna, and everything that they love and everything that they do, their whole livelihood, their whole lives, becomes destroyed because of it. And yet they still go to Krishna again and say, please help us. Please protect us. And I was thinking, in our mood of surrender, or at least in mine, it's like, yes, I'm willing to have absolute faith, as long as things kind of go the way I want. Isn't it? It's like, I'll surrender as long as it's not, you know, as long as, you know, things work out the way that I'm hoping they'll work out, or the way that I want them to work out, or according to my desire. I mean, if I surrender to you, Krishna, then this is a, you know, I'm surrendering to you, so you should also kind of surrender a bit to me. I mean, it says that anyway, right? It says that if I surrender to you, then you become subservient to me. So I'm going to surrender to you, and then you should make sure that the reins of devastation don't come fall on my head. And if they do, then I'm probably going to be less likely to surrender to you the next time, because our relationship isn't quite working out the way that you said it was going to. Isn't it? Has anyone had that experience? That our surrender is, I think, I don't remember who it was, but someone asked a question yesterday, you know, what if we surrender to Krishna and we think we're surrendering to Krishna, but we don't exactly get what we want? Then what? Then what do we do? But here, the residents of Vrindavan, they surrendered to Krishna, and they're getting pulverized. Their whole village is getting destroyed. Probably most of us haven't exactly had that tough of an experience, right? So count your lucky stars. Jai Bhakta Robert Prabhuki. So, you know, here Krishna is pulverizing them. And I was, we were discussing a little bit, reading some last night, also from the 18th chapter of the Gita. And we got to the section with 1866, you know, Sarva Dharmam Parijaja, Maam Ekam Sharanam Braja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo, Moksha, Yishami, Ma Suchaha. Have no fear. Don't worry. And you know, it's like such a famous verse, the summum bonum of the Bhagavad Gita in one sense. I haven't read the purport in a long time. You know how it is, Prabhupada's books, no matter how many times you read them, every time you read it again, it's like, whoa, man, did I read that? Was that there the last time? It's like the book, you know, just keeps unfolding more and more, the purports. And there's one place where Prabhupada says something to the effect that one should have such unflinching faith in the Lord that Let me see if I can find it. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Has everyone got that? There's no need of even thinking how I'm going to keep this body and soul together. That means there's no need of thinking how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to sleep. Any needs, any requirements, there's no need to even think about it. And Prabhupada says, there is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. No need to even think about it. Prabhupada says, very short sentence, Krishna will see to that. No need to think about these things. Krishna will take care of it. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. We should always think ourselves helpless and know that Krishna is the only foundation for any progress, for any success, for any shelter in our life. We're completely helpless. What can we do, really? So there's no need to worry about keeping the body and soul together. No need to worry about so many things. Krishna will take care of it. But what about when he doesn't? What about when it appears that he isn't? What about when he sends the rains of devastation to fall upon our head and we think, what do we think? Externally, we might not say anything. But what's going on inside? Where is our faith? Where is the Shraddha? Where is it situated? What is the advancement? And I was reminded of this pastime in the Bible, the book of Job. Anyone knows this book? Any of the very old Christians here? So this is like such a powerful pastime because Job, he's considered to be one of the most devout followers of God. In fact, God is praising him. He's saying, this man is so pious. He has such faith in me. And then the angels come and Satan comes along with him. And he says to the Lord, he's only worshiping you because you keep giving him what he wants. But if you take it all away from him, then you watch. He'll come to me and he'll deride you. He'll begin to blaspheme you and he'll start to worship me. So God says, go ahead then. Have your way with him. Do whatever you need to do. Test him so that we can all see where his faith is. And then, you know, Job gets a message. He's got, I think, 10 sons or something like that. He gets a message that his house, because he's like this opulent farmer, and he gets the message that his house is collapsed and all of his children have been killed. And all of his crops were burned and destroyed. All of his camels and animals were all killed by thieves and stolen. And then he develops leprosy, some disease of the skin, and he's like suffering like anything. Everything that he knew becomes completely destroyed, and he's like being tested. I think I used this term before, some tested to the core of his being, right down to the deepest. He's thinking, you know, how could God be doing this to me? Why is all of this happening? And then, to top it all off, he's visited by three of his closest friends who start telling him that God is punishing him. That God is punishing you because you've been a sinful man. And because of your sins, then God is punishing you, and that's why you're suffering. God is doing all this to you. So this person is being just torn apart, but yet somehow his faith and his trust in God remains intact, and he just carries on. What's that famous British saying that, you know, they have the little, what is it? Come on, you know.
Keep calm and carry on.
Yes, keep calm and carry on, old chap. So he follows the instructions of, who said that? Was that like the Queen or Churchill or someone like that? It was in wartime or something, right? It came out. Anyway. Yes, yeah, wartime propaganda. Keep calm, everyone, carry on. Or after what? After 9/11, I forget who was, whoever was in charge, Bush or someone. He said, everyone should just go out shopping. Keep the American economy alive. So, you know, he just remained calm and he carried on. Just carried on with the process. And the residents of Vrindavan, they're being devastated, overwhelmed, and they go to Krishna again. They go to him directly. The person that actually, and for all intents and purposes, has been the cause of all of their suffering and difficulty. And they say, please help us. Please help me. You're my only shelter. Even though I'm being tortured because I keep taking shelter of you. But here I am again. Please help me. And then what happens? The Lord lifts Govardhan Hill, and everyone goes underneath Govardhan Hill, and they get 7 days, is it? 7 days of darshan of the Lord, of personal association with the Lord. They get sheltered. They get protection. They get intimate association with the Lord, because their faith is, you know, it's unwavering. They just keep coming to him. And because of that, then he provides the shelter. He gives the shelter, he protects them, and he rewards them with that intimate association. But do we know where that breaking point is? Right? Because we think we're being tested and tested and tested. At what point do I just give up thinking that Krishna is going to give me the shelter at some point? Does that make sense? We're thinking, you know, when? How long will it happen? I've been holding out now for a good 24 hours. Krishna, you better do something. One whole week now, maybe one whole month, one whole year, but it's not something that we can dictate. You know, I don't know exactly. I may say how long, you know, the storm went on for before Krishna finally lifted the hill. You know, and did some of the cowherd men and women pack their bags? We're out of here. Forget this Krishna guy. You know, a little 7-year-old kid told us to, you know, now look, the whole place is getting destroyed. You're crazy listening to him. We're going somewhere else. They just kept calm and
carried on.
And they remained faithful to the Lord. And ultimately, they were rewarded. What's this Mother Ermila said in this quote from this movie, if it hasn't worked out yet, what was that? If it hasn't worked out yet, it's not the end, or something like that. Do you remember that? How's it go? It's like I think it's like a Hindi saying or Indian saying, that if you're in the middle of something and it seems like this just isn't working out right, then it means it's not over yet. So just carry on. Just keep trying, and, you know, because in the end everything will be all right. If we take shelter of the Lord, in the end everything will work out. It may not necessarily work out exactly how we think that it should, but in the end we see. And we may see, oh my God, the Lord was moving so many things around to actually help me. But first we have to show him our faith. Why are we tested? Because we've cheated on the Lord so many times. So many times we've turned our back on Him. So, you know, don't be surprised if now we have to prove ourselves a little bit. But He's still offering. I mean, in this 1866, you know, it says that because 1866 comes after a whole section of the Lord speaking about nature and working if you're a Brahmana, Kshatriya. And then He says, abandon all varieties of religion. So everything that I've just told you throughout the whole Gita, forget it. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is just surrender to Me. What I'm asking you to do, you do that. And don't worry. I'll take care of everything. And Prabhupada says in the purport there that He says, in the seventh chapter it is said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto Him. Hare Krishna. I had about a million other things to say, but we don't have much time, and probably this is a good enough point. If anyone has any comments or questions or corrections, is there the mic? Mike? Alexi Prabhu and then Lori.
Not a question, but just mentioned a few times this famous Kirtan.
Is it turned on, that thing? You're turning me up, I think.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just remembered how I was standing on the Oxford Circus during the winter marathon. And, or maybe summer marathon, but it was very tough, very intense. And it was actually really intense. And then I was standing close to the box, kind of just about to, you know, either sit down or whatever, stop distribution. And then the next thing I lifted my eyes up and I saw somebody approaching me with this huge t-shirt. And it just said, keep calm, carry on. And I got this absolutely distinct feeling that it was direct message of Krishna. So I just stood up, carried on. It was perfectly fine. Just you remind me.
Just see, you're here today and you survived.
Hare Krishna. I'm just, we have, and we may have from hearing, we may have this the desire to want to surrender to Krishna without any ulterior motivation may be there, and we may be acting upon that for a short amount of time, but because Krishna doesn't necessarily reward you or reciprocate with you when you like, as you're saying, we kind of, from my experience, we kind of fall down to a lower motivation and desire. We take shelter with your desires. So how do we maintain this this mood of just wanting to surrender to Krishna? How do we maintain it, even in so much trouble and external strife? How do we maintain this desire to want to surrender?
Mm. Well, surrender, actually there's another purport leading up to 1866. I'd have to look. But Prabhupada is, he says there that, oh, it's actually, it's after, no, it's not after. Yeah, it's the purport where Krishna says to Arjuna that I have spoken all this confidential knowledge to you now, so delineate upon it fully and then do as you like. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses that about surrender, and he explains that the type of surrender that Krishna is looking for is not sort of like blind surrender, but actually he's encouraging delineation. He's encouraging one to engage one's intelligence and ask questions, to go deeper. And Prabhupada says, actually in that purport, he says that one should therefore delineate and follow one's intelligence as far as it will go. And then decide. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's our intelligence that's dictating and determining to a greater or lesser extent what we do. Right? Our doubts. So we have a doubt. Krishna's not giving me what I want. Da-da-da. So then delineate. Why? What is it? Take shelter. Right? Pray to Krishna. I mean, the residents in Vrindavan, the clouds of devastation came and they didn't go take shelter of Indra. They didn't go take shelter of, you know, they didn't go and say, okay, now, okay, Krishna gave some instruction, it all went wrong, so now let's do impersonal meditation. they didn't do anything other than go back to Krishna. So they went back to Krishna and they took shelter of him. And what, you know, I understood is Prabhupada is saying that our intelligence has to become purified so that it guides us correctly. Because that's the thing that's letting us down. Because our intelligence isn't strong. Our intelligence is very weak. Our intelligence is polluted by lust. Right? Lust is the formidable enemy which has gained control over the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. And the intelligence is meant to dictate to the mind, and the mind is meant to dictate to the senses. So if the intelligence is captured by this formidable enemy, then what do we have to do? What's the verse? How does it start? Evam bare param budva samsta jatmanam atmana jahishatram mahabaho kamarupam dirasadam. Yeah, so one should take Krishna consciousness fully, right? And has the to the material mind and senses. Deliberate spiritual intelligence. Deliberate spiritual and deliberate, intentional. You know, you're causing it. You're choosing it consciously, deliberate. Right? But what we do is, like Prabhupada said, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. I mean, if you're conscious, then you can choose. If you're unconscious, it's chosen for you. And the default is Maya. The default is lust. The default is material desires. So we have to consciously choose Krishna. And like the residents of Vrindavan, they could have chosen anything else. What is it? They did that video, what would you do if there was only like 7 minutes left to live or something? And most of the people were like, go shopping, have sex, get drunk. If I had 7 minutes left to live, you know, people were like, grab the nearest good-looking person and just go for it. Hey, that sounds wonderful. You know, what if you had 7 minutes left to live? I mean, would you take shelter of Krishna? The residents of Vrindavan didn't know how much time they had, and they went right to Krishna, and he protected them. So we have to purify the intelligence. You know, what we have to see is like, obstacles are not negative. Obstacles are opportunities. Obstacles are opportunities for us to actually make advancement. It's like Krishna is just giving us another chance to take shelter of Him. He's giving us one more chance to show Him, I'm going to choose you. Krishna, I can't stand it here on the street anymore. It's too much. Just being out here, these people, this thing, it's, why am I doing this? But anyway, I'm not going anywhere because this is what pleases you. And then the sun comes out, and the clouds part, and the people come up and give you Lakshmi and take the books, and they say, I've been looking for this my whole life. And you're like, where did that come from? Isn't it, we see, when we take shelter of Krishna, He reveals Himself. So it's just another opportunity. So, I mean, we have to actually become Krishna conscious. That's the point. And we have to keep taking shelter of Krishna and not get caught up in the mundane. That would be my answer. I don't know if it's any good. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Ladies' side? Anything? Okay. Yeah.
Krishna is testing us, you said. But He knows really our heart and past, present and future. So why is He testing us? Then?
Say that again, Krishna's?
Krishna knows our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
He knows our past, present and future.
Yeah.
So why does He have to test us?
That's right. He knows everything and everything's already decided and therefore there's no... But that's why this... here. In that verse 1863. Hear the words, Yatechasi tata kuru. As you like, you may act. As you like, Premarnava Puru. Act however you like. That means the future is not carved in stone. It means that every moment we have the opportunity to make a choice. Every second we are making decisions. And every decision that we make and action that follows from that is karma activity. It's either karma, vikarma, or akarma. So, these words indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. And the best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supreme, unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. And that will help one to become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. We have free will. It's minute. It's little. But we keep misusing it. But if we use it properly, and that's why we're tested. So it's not exactly that Krishna is sitting there with a stick. One more test for you! It's like all the tests could be passed as long as we take shelter of Him. It's just done. I mean, it isn't even a test. It's like a wonderful opportunity. Do you understand? So it's our consciousness, whether we're seeing it as some stupid test that's just getting, right? Or we're like, here it is again. Krishna, this little guy, he's like playing with me one more time. You know, it's like, what is our mood and mentality? What is our consciousness? Krishna just likes to play, isn't it? He's a little cowherd boy. I mean, he's just playful. He's mischievous. This is God. This is His nature. But we're so serious. But are we serious about playing with Krishna? Are we serious about getting what we want? So there, in one sense, there's no test. There's just more opportunities to serve. I mean, in order to get anything we want, you know, people work like dogs, like anything. People work so hard and are tested like anything to get position, to get, you know, adoration, to get money, right? To move up the corporate ladder. They'll work extra hours, overtime, listen to that smelly boss with the bad breath who keeps breathing down my neck. I'll tolerate and tolerate to get what I want. But when it comes to spiritual life, hey, why didn't Krishna just hand it to me on a platter? Why do I got to work for this? Why do I have to work for my spiritual life? I mean, it should just come to me. We should work like double dogs. We should work triple as hard to satisfy Krishna, because that's the right thing. Otherwise, take to material life, no problem. You're still going to work like a dog. You're still going to suffer, isn't it? But here, so there's some challenge in order to get the highest goal and the highest perfection. So just keep going with it. Ultimately, you know, I mean, we have to see, what is our faith? Do we believe that in the end it will work out? And how's it going to work out? It's going to work out the way that Krishna wants it to work out. It's not going to work out the way that we want. But you might be surprised in the end that Krishna gives you everything you want, like Dhruva Maharaj, right? I mean, he was dead on determined. Then when he got everything that he wanted, he said it was nothing. He said, I thought I was searching after the most valuable jewels, but now that you've given it to me, I realize it's just like broken glass. It's nothing compared to having you. And here I've worked so hard to get this stuff, and you're giving it to me. What an amazing person Krishna is. What an amazing person God is. Here, I'll read you this last thing. I'll finish with this. This purport is so powerful. Yeah. So here's Prabhupada, 1866, last paragraph. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he's all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman. Some of them are attracted by the supersoul feature. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, he's the most perfect transcendentalist. Yeah, and then Prabhupada says at the end, Ma Suchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. Are we worrying? Who's worried? What's that song? There's some Bob Marley song, Don't Worry. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and the famous words of Bob Marley, you know, come on. Be perplexed. Yeah, he says, one may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna. So one may be perplexed. How can I give up everything and just surrender to Krishna? But Prabhupada says, such worry is useless. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Brinda ki jai. Hari Hari Bol. Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Okay, so for the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores from yesterday. In Radha's Boutique, we distributed 17 books for 226 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Shopping Ki Jai. And no score from the restaurant. Just a reminder, because I don't even know if everyone is aware, but from next week on Monday, the restaurant will be closed from the 7th. Until the 16th of May. So for approximately 10 days, that's the plan. Let's see what Krishna's plan is. So that means that there will be no lunch program from the 7th to the 16th. So We're going to put up a poster, but those of you who are at the lunch program, anyone goes to the lunch program anymore? Okay, very good. All right. So those of you who are at the lunch program, please announce this. Start to tell people that there won't be any lunch program from next Monday until, you know, after the 16th. Start to let everyone know. Also, it means that this Sunday, which is the 6th, there'll be a Sunday feast, but the Sunday feast on the 13th will also be canceled because the kitchen is going to be refurbished also. So that means, since we're a kitchen religion, and if the kitchen is being refurbished, then that means the religion can't really go on so well. So, like that. So it means, yeah, the Sunday feast. And also it means from the 7th to the 16th, everyone who works in the temple and resides in the temple will have to fast. It's only 10 days. So this will be an opportunity to test the class that I just gave and see